Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
Luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 200, and I'm recording this on September 19th, 2009. Well, that's right, this is episode number 200 of Speaking of History, and I've been thinking a lot about what I wanted to do for a topic for this podcast. And I thought I would go with probably one of the most basic questions that I hear while I'm doing my podcast, and that is, why do you podcast? Why do you do it? What's the advantages? Why do you take the time that you do to create the podcast? And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight. My first podcast was back in 2005, July 7th, 2005, actually, to be exact. And I know I've told this story before, so if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you may have heard this, but when school got out at the end of 2005, I bought an MP3 player at Best Buy. It was a little iRiver MP3 player, and I thought it was pretty cool because I could download podcasts of people and then listen to them while I was doing stuff like mowing my lawn or, you know, going out and taking a walk or driving in the car. And I started listening to people like David Warlick, Bud Hunt from Bud the Teacher, Steve Dembo, and Wes Fryer, Speed of Creativity. I was listening to all these different podcasts, and I thought, well, my MP3 player has the capability of recording as well, so I'm just going to kind of try this out, see if I can get it to record and create an MP3 file, and then actually post it and create a podcast. And at that time, you know, it wasn't that common of a thing to do. I mean, there were lots of podcasts out there, but it wasn't as mainstream as it got later on. And so I really felt like I just wanted to kind of try out the hardware, see if I could get it to work. And at the time, I really didn't even know what I wanted to do with my podcast. But I knew that once I posted it and I got a couple comments and some feedback, I thought, wow, this thing's really, really powerful. I don't really know exactly what this medium's going to be. I don't really know how I'm going to use it. But right away, I thought, wow, this is pretty neat. So I used my iRiver MP3 player to record quite a few podcasts. Back then, I did no editing. I would just hit record, and I would talk, and it would record. And the iRiver actually recorded directly to an MP3 file. And then I would just post that to my server space. So I didn't use Audacity for a while or anything. Just kind of, if I made a mistake, it either stayed in there, or if I made a big enough mistake, I went back and recorded it from scratch. So then, once I started to actually podcast and stuff, I started to really think about, well, what's my message? Why am I podcasting? And that's kind of when my tagline came up of basically the three topics that we talk about here are technology, education, and history. And sometimes they intertwine a little bit. Sometimes it's just about technology. Sometimes it's just about history. Education generally kind of blends into both of those topics as I talk about them on the podcast, but I try and kind of stick to those three main topics. And it's really, over the years, I think, become a really important form of reflection for me. And I know some people keep journals, some people keep notebooks, and I do tend to write stuff down a lot. I've got several different journals and notebooks, and I write down ideas for what I want to do in class, or I write down ideas on what went well, or ideas for things that I want to do in the future. So in a lot of ways, the podcasts have become sort of like an audio reflection of what I'm doing in class, and then things that I might want to do in the future in class. And I've got lots and lots of ideas that I've written down that have never become podcasts. In fact, I've got an entire notebook that's just labeled podcast ideas. And you know, sometimes it fits into my schedule that I'll have a great idea for a podcast and I'll have some time available, I'll record it. And other times I might have a bunch of great ideas and I'm just swamped with stuff. And there's lots of things that I would like to podcast about that I just don't because of time issues. And sometimes I almost feel guilty that I'm not podcasting about some of these things. But in the end, you know, I can only record so many podcasts and do so many podcasts, so I'm going to eventually probably come back to some of those ideas, but a lot of the ideas that I have don't actually make it to an audio podcast. So in a lot of ways, my podcast is kind of like an interactive journal, along with the blog. I can do things like post pictures, I can post video. One of the blog posts that I really like to go back and look at is the one where I do the where we teach the Declaration of Independence, and I kind of punk the kids a little bit, and I read a note, or what they believe is a note, and it's actually a breakup letter from the colonies to the British Crown. And so I did a flip cam video and embedded that in that post, and so I think that that's a good example of kind of how I'm trying to share things with other people, because you've got the blog post, and I've written a description, I've shared the text of the letter, I did a little hidden flip cam video, so you kind of see the students' reaction. But then I also did a podcast about the process that I go through and why I do it that way. So that's kind of one of my model examples, I guess, of what I'm trying to accomplish with the podcast. But the other benefit is that I receive a lot of interaction back. Just recently, a couple podcasts ago, I did a little podcast about Obama's speech to students. And I did that right away as soon as we found out that we'd be showing the video and things like that. And I had 9 comments in the matter of a couple days of different teachers kind of weighing in on an issue. And there's been so many times when people have commented on a particular podcast or just sent me an email about a particular podcast, and it's had a huge impact on the way I teach or the way that I maybe view something. So the whole interactivity of the podcast is also, I think, one of the benefits over just writing it down in a journal and never really opening up to anybody else. A lot of people ask how long it takes to do a podcast, and that's kind of hard because the podcast lengths tend to vary. I kind of try to stay at about probably 20 minutes or so. That's kind of the rule of thumb. I know when podcasts first started, they said, well, that's about how long most people have as far as commute time. So you want to stay to about 20 minutes, but I would say probably on average, a podcast takes about an hour to create for me. Typically, I'll write down some notes before we do the podcast. I'll then record the podcast and then put it into Audacity, put a little header and a footer that I've created as far as like some background music and things like that. I then upload it to the server, and then on the blog site, I'll type up a little text, sometimes add a video, sometimes add a picture. And I would say probably on average, each podcast is about an hour. So it's kind of interesting when you go back and look, okay, well, if I've had 200 podcasts, that would work out to being about 200 hours of work. And if you made those into 8-hour work days, that'd be like 25 days of work. So it does take time. And sometimes my schedule does dictate how many podcasts I do. I haven't done a lot of podcasts this fall. I'm working on my doctorate and just, a lot of stuff's happening at school and things like that. But I definitely do try and keep up whenever I have time and do a podcast. And it's kind of a relaxing thing for me to do as well. I never really feel like I'm stressed to do a podcast, but I just really kind of relax and enjoy doing these things. I think that podcasting is a really important collaboration tool and really kind of helps create that professional learning network. I don't think that you have to have a podcast to have a PLN, but I think in some ways it's a way to connect with other teachers. I really am gratified whenever I get an email from a colleague that says, hey, listen to a podcast about this particular project you did or this particular activity, and I did it in class, and, thanks for sharing it. And so all the work and the hours and posting and stuff like that, when you get a podcast or when you get a response to a podcast like that, it makes it definitely worthwhile. I think that in a lot of ways, the podcast can also serve teachers that are especially maybe in a district where they don't have a lot of other history teachers. My background for the last 8 years has been in a rather large suburban school district in the Kansas City area, but I started off teaching in extremely small communities in Nebraska where I basically was the only history teacher. The place that I taught for the first 5 years is a small school district named Silver Lake High School in south central Nebraska, and I was the only social teacher in the entire district. So from grade 7 through 12, I was it. And so in that situation, you're kind of thrown into the fire you know, you might be able to get some mentoring advice from another teacher in the building, another teacher in the district. But if you have content-specific questions, there's really nobody else to go to. And, you know, and this is a whole other podcast, but the whole idea that, you know, teaching is so isolating that you pretty much are by yourself and you're kind of on an island. And I think that something like a podcast about a specific thing like Ideas for Teaching History can really add some important missing parts if you're someone that's just starting off or you're just beginning to teach. And there's so many ways that you can learn about things through podcasts, not just a podcast like Speaking of History, but, you know, things like TED Talks or, you know, all the different ones that are out there as far as professional development. There's so much that you can learn from listening to somebody's podcast and hopefully enjoy a little bit too. One question I get sometimes is, well, what's your favorite podcast of all time? And I would probably say the Declaration of Independence Breakup Letter one is one of my favorite ones, because I included the video and seeing how the class reacts, I probably get more comments on that than any other one. But I also look back, and we did a podcast from the deck of the USS Midway out in San Diego, and that was really cool. We've done podcasts from Ford's Theater. We've done podcasts from different places in Springfield, Illinois, with associated with Lincoln. We've done some things from Washington, D.C. So just, you know, being able to capture a particular idea or concept right when it happens is something that kind of makes that podcast special. I guess now I'm thinking of a couple other ones. When I was able to meet President Bush in the White House, I was able to do a podcast that night, and then my students listened to it back in my classroom in Liberty, Missouri the next day. And I think it was important to do that podcast on that particular day because I remembered everything that happened, obviously, that day as we went through the process of going to the Oval Office and meeting the president. And if I would have waited a couple days or a week or, you know, even a month to do that podcast, I probably would have forgot some of those details. And so I think that it's important sometimes to do a podcast when everything's kind of fresh in your mind and, you know, you're really thinking about something. And that'd be one particular case where I really thought it was important to do a podcast and kind of capture the moment. And I remember that day, we had a really crazy day. My wife and I, you know, we did the whole White House thing, and we did some other stuff in Washington the remainder of the day. And then we came back to the hotel, and I just went down to the lobby and sat down, leaned up against the wall, and, you know, basically reflected on the day. And so that's kind of a neat memory to be able to capture it right there as it happens. So as far as the podcast and how many people listen to it, sometimes I have colleagues say, well, how many people actually listen to your podcast? And I know from my server data records, last year we had about 500,000 downloads of the podcast, and the blog's been accessed from about 140 countries in the last couple years. So, you know, I don't really know exactly how it gets out. I know that it's linked occasionally to some people's pages as far as social studies or history or examples of a podcast, but the idea that we've had, you know, 500,000 downloads the last year, that's kind of cool to think about. And again, you know, if I can just get some of these ideas out and, you know, connect with people, that's probably the most gratifying part. Sometimes people say, well, do you get paid for doing the podcast? And technically, no, I don't receive any compensation for the podcast. I have had people on occasion ask if they could sponsor a podcast or sponsor the podcast, and I've always said no to that. For a while, I did run Google AdSense, and I had some links on the top of the page. And I think total in the last 3 years, I think I've received maybe like $200 from Google, and that was in like separate, you know, separate checks. You know, like basically, I think when it was really up and running, I think maybe it'd be like $100 every like 13 or 14 months maybe. And then I did move the Google AdSense stuff down to the bottom of the page, and I basically haven't received any hits recently. So it's not really making me any revenue. Server space cost me about probably $10 a month or so. I use 1&1 internet to host it. And then I also have a couple other web pages that I run off of 1&1. So technically, no, I'm not making money off the podcast, but I have been able to, you know, create opportunities as far as writing for various magazines or, you know, working on projects with like the History Channel, PBS, the Smithsonian, School Library Journal, Microsoft. You know, I think having the podcast kind of helps, you know, show that I am using technology and I'm out there sharing ideas about technology. So I'm sure that some of those are tied back to having a podcast, but technically, no, I'm not receiving compensation for doing the podcast. I am currently working on an archive page. This is something that I've had people ask about in the last couple months. They want to go to a particular podcast, but when they go to, for example, like the Zune online site or iTunes, and they only show you the last, and I'm not sure exactly how many, like the last 20 or so, but people in some cases have wanted to access something that was from like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. The Gettysburg stuff from 2 years ago, I get requests for sometimes. So what I want to do is create an archive page so you can go to one place and see a really short description of each podcast and then have a direct link if you'd like to download that podcast from that page. It's just a matter of time and getting it done, but that is one of my goals, so that eventually there's one place where you can go and see all the different podcasts. So thank you very much for listening. If you're listening to the podcast, you know, I can't tell you how much it means to me that people would take time out of their day to listen to the podcast. And if you ever have any suggestions or comments, let me know. I am slowly trying to get back to everybody, and I try and make it a priority when you email me. I'm also creating an archive page for all the resources that I use in the classroom. And I know I've had some people email me about particular like note packets and things like that, and I am working on a solution to try and create one resource page where everything that I do in class is available for people to view and download. And again, it's just a matter of kind of taking time and getting that page created. But if you have emailed me and asked a question in the past, I thank you very much for taking the time to asking a question. And if you ever have a comment or a suggestion, I've had some people actually suggest topics for podcasts that have become podcasts. So let me know if you have any comments, thoughts, questions. You can always email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. So that's about it for our 200th podcast, and we will continue on. I don't have any predictions about how long this will continue. If you'd have asked me back in July of 2005, I never would have guessed that I would still be doing this in the fall of 2009. So who knows? I mean, who knows what will happen to the medium? I know some people kind of feel like podcasting might be, you know, going downhill a little bit as far as, you know, listenership. But I think that a podcast like this is very niche-y, and I'm definitely podcasting towards a small niche of people, you know, people that like technology and like history and are teachers. So I think there'll always be an audience. I don't know how big the audience will be, and I guess I don't really think too much about, you know, doing something just to create an audience. So I guess as long as anybody's listening, I'll continue to do the podcast, because again, for me, it's just a form of reflection, and it's just a great way to collaborate with everybody. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon. And as always, remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.